My friends, in Jesus and Mary, the beauty about studying the Blessed Mother, the Mother of Jesus, is the more you know who she is, the more you love what she is, the more you're going to understand your dignity as a Christian. And we're going to talk about the dogma of the Assumption of Our Lady, and we're going to see this has everything to do with you and me, even though exclusively and in the highest fashion it has to do with her. This is Dr. Mark Miravalli. Welcome you to MaryCast. Again, talking about the dogma of the Assumption of Our Blessed Virgin Mary. So far, we have talked about the three dogmas. Number one, her dogmatic proclamation as the Mother of God, 431 in the Council of Ephesus. Number two, that she is the perpetual virgin, declared by Pope St. Martin I, 649 at the First Lateran Council, and then confirmed at Third Constantinople in 681. The third dogma is the Immaculate Conception of Our Blessed Mother, defined on December 8th of 1854 by Blessed Pius IX. And now we're up to 1950, November 1st, a solemn papal definition by Servant of God Pius XII. Why does the dogma of the Assumption have something to do with you and me? Because it gives a future, it gives a portending of our ultimate resurrection of the body on the last day. It's a dogma of victory. A victory for the Blessed Mother, but also victory for you and me in our own mode. So let's get to the heart of what the dogma says. I want to read you the actual dogmatic statement that comes forward as a fruit of the gift of papal infallibility. Pius XII defines as such, and I quote, "The Immaculate Mother of God, the ever-Virgin Mary, having completed the course of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul into heavenly glory." Now, Pius XII will make reference to several sources of revelation for the truth of this. Scripture, tradition, liturgy, the common consensus of the faithful, and even the magisterium of the churches in a type of unanimity. But I want to start with a new element of history that's very encouraging, and that is, previous to this, the first reference of the dogma of the Assumption historically, other than its roots in Scripture, of course, was a reference by St. Gregory of Tours in 590. And St. Gregory writes about how the Blessed Mother was assumed body and soul into heavenly glory at the direct direction of our Lord Jesus. Now, what we've discovered since the definition of Pius XII in 1950 is a number of transitus narratives. A transitus narrative is a narrative regarding Mary's transition between earth and heaven. And it seems that there were a number of transitus references to Mary's Assumption that can date back as early as to the 3rd and 4th century. You have liturgical celebrations of Mary's Assumption, as we're going to see in the 5th and 6th centuries. But we even have another type of proof of the authenticity of this. Some, unfortunately, in terms of a type of false apologetics, have said, oh, listen, this was invented by Pius XII in 1950. And others have said, no, this was invented by Gregory of Tours in 590. Well, we know that that's not the truth, as we're going to discuss about in these few programs on the Assumption that it is a scriptural truth that's implicitly present in Scripture. It's essentially linked to the Immaculate Conception, but also we find in a very formidable work by St. Epiphanius in the 3rd century, 3rd to 4th century, that St. Epiphanius goes through a series of heresies, and he condemns heresies. And I raise this because some, I'm sure, well-meaning but very, very historically erroneous apologetics against the Catholic Church have said, this was an early church heresy and it should have been condemned as a heresy. Well, look, St. Epiphanius condemns over 80 heresies in his major work. He condemns things like the Corradinian heresy, which was a heresy of a small group of women priests who were actually giving sacrifice to Mary. Never part of Catholic tradition, never accepted by the Church, and it's properly condemned. And my friends, I bring this up importantly here because sometimes people think that there's not a proper reflection of the Church about heresy. There absolutely is. There's a dynamic organism of protecting the deposit of faith. And it was true in the 3rd and 4th century. And St. Epiphanius clearly condemns this gross act of blasphemy by the Corinthians in giving a worship, an idolatry, a sacrifice to Mary. But the point is, he does not condemn the teachings of the time that indeed Our Lady was assumed body and soul into heavenly glory. And that tells us that indeed the watchdogs were there, but there was nothing to bark about when you're talking about the Assumption of Our Lady. And the transitus narratives which were present at the time reflected the apostolic tradition, and it was that which was also weaved and becomes a foundation into statements by Gregory of Tours, Andrew of Crete, and the many others that teach the Assumption of Our Lady. So we're going to go into these different foundational elements of Our Lady's Assumption, but I want to start by saying this. The definition declares no more, no less than, at the end of her earthly life, Mary was assumed body and soul into heavenly glory. This means that Mary, at the end of her incredibly meritorious life on earth, was raised into heaven, body and soul. And that's why there's two tombs of Our Lady, one in Ephesus and one in Jerusalem. And my friends, they're both empty. And there's never been a true relic of Our Lady. Why? Because indeed, her body isn't here. And the Ephesus tomb may have been a tomb of preparation. And the Jerusalem tomb was a tomb that she was laid in, at least over, for the period of 3 days. But after that point, she was indeed brought up by the power of God into heaven. And that's the essential difference between the ascension of Jesus, where Jesus rises by his own power, and the Assumption of Our Lady, where she has risen, she's brought up, raised body and soul, assumed body and soul by the power of Jesus Christ. So we're going to go into these dimensions of scripture, tradition, liturgy, history, uniformity in the church about the Assumption of Our Lady. But I want to end by saying, remember, our Mother's victory is a foretaste of our victory. Because if we're true to the life of Jesus Christ, as she was, we too will experience a final resurrection of the body on the last day. And we also will experience the glories of heaven. We too have a heavenly crown waiting for us, as the Mother was crowned gloriously in Revelation 12 after her Assumption into heaven. The Ark of the Covenant was found in heaven, and it was Our Lady. This is Dr. Mark Mirvali. Thanks for being with us at MaryCast. God bless you.